Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. What makes a good television program or network about food? What separate series whetting your appetite from those that do not? My cats can serve up a few answers, having worked alongside such culinary wizards as Julia Child and Marnie Ann. Now he's whipped up an iPad app with interactive TV possibilities. Emmy-winning executive producer Jeffrey Drummond joins me next. And what will you get from NBC locking in the Olympics through 2020? I'll comment. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Welcome aboard. Great to have you with us on this June afternoon, 72 degrees in the New York metro area. And we invite you to be part of this first of a triple header of shows for you this week. We're also on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday this week, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio. And we invite you to be part of the conversation. All it takes is your phone call, 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us live across the country or worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Chat room is open as well. Simon Apple 04 by name. Already have a few people in the room. So if you don't want to use the phone, use the room. That's why it's there. My guest today joins us from the Hamptons, Long Island way. He's been producing television shows in the cooking field since the mid-1980s. He's won Emmy Awards, the James Beard Award, very big award in the cooking field, as well as the ACE Award as one of the best people in cable programming. And he's worked with the likes of Jacques Pepin and Julia Child. Joining us now, Jeffrey Drummond. Jeffrey, welcome in.
Thanks, Simon. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So what separates the good cooking shows from the bad ones?
I think that there are lots of different good ones, and you know it. They're all quite different. There are cooking shows and food shows, really. And cooking shows are really, to me, shows about how to cook. And that's primarily the world that I've lived in. There are also shows that deal with cooking as a kind of almost a sport. And those are also terrific, the Top Chefs and shows like that. They make for really good television, but, you know, they're really not about cooking as much as, using cooking as a platform for competition to show the, ecstasy of victory and the agony of defeat.
When you started doing cooking shows in the 1980s, public television was basically the place to find these shows, the French Chef, Yank and Cook, The Frugal Gourmet, other shows like that, usually on the weekends. Now you've got Food Network 24/7, Cooking Channel over the last year 24/7. Do you think this is the golden age for the food television field?
Absolutely. I mean, it's really, I've kind of been there and watched it blossom when we first started doing cooking shows. And actually, I worked in the early 80s with James Beard on a series that kind of took you behind the wall, and there were in fact walls between the restaurant and the dining room and the kitchen, and we kind of went behind as restaurants and chefs started becoming more popular with the public, and we did a series called New York's Master Chefs that went behind the scenes at the Four Seasons and Lutèce and La Côte Basque and so on. And they were still fairly formal. And it was really, what are these chefs doing behind the scenes? Because people didn't see that. In the early 90s, thanks very much to Spago in Los Angeles and restaurants like that, they started opening up the kitchen. So people saw that. Then they started wondering what chefs were doing at home. I was working with Julia Child at the time, and Julia's idea was, let's see what they're doing in their own kitchens. And we did a series called Cooking with Master Chefs, but rather than cooking with them in their restaurants, we cooked with them in their home kitchens. And Julia was really the, as she called herself, she said, I'll be the Alistair cookie, and this is sort of our masterpiece cooking series. And we did that, and people were really, really fascinated with it and with these people who, it was really the beginning of celebrity chefdom. Before that, it was really the restaurateur and the front of the house that people knew much more than the chef, at least in this country. And then in the early 90s, when the Food Network came in, it all began to take off in a way. And you really began to know chefs by their names, you know. And probably the first of all of those was Emeril. You had a couple, you had Emeril, and you had Mary Sue Milligan and Susan Fenniger, who were the two hot tamales, and a couple of others. And they were the first chefs, because before that, you know, Julia, as she often said, they call me the French chef, and I'm neither. She saw herself as a cook and a cooking teacher and a writer, and she excelled at all of that and really was the introducer of, I'd say, the culinary arts to mass audience. So I think go on.
Jeffrey, why did Julia break through when she did it on public television in the 60s and until her death was, you know, probably the person that paved the way for Emeril and Two Hot Tamales and Guy Fieri and Martin Yang and Jeff Smith and all the chefs or personalities that have embraced food on television?
Well, I think you just answered it. It is very much a, and people used to criticize and say, well, you know, these shows are really personality driven. They're not about, you know, they're not about recipes. That's absolutely true. People tune in to TV. They want to find stuff, but it's like having a favorite teacher at school. You really want that person who's delivering the information to be somebody who both embraces the topic, but even more so embraces you at home and who you embrace as the one who you want to get your information from. And Julia was certainly that person. You know, she had charisma, she had character, she had humor, and she really had an understanding and a mastery of her material, of her subject matter, but she had, you know, a great mastery of her audience. And as, you know, as the world is developing, I'm sure we'll talk about it, the world of cooking and, you know, even books, but in particular, you know, we've been involved in creating apps now, cooking apps, and, you know, and that's very much a, you know, there are tons of encyclopedic resources that are out there, but what people are really looking for is an experience with somebody or through somebody that they can really trust, understand, and relate to.
Jeffrey Dumon, Emmy Award-winning executive producer of Food Television, our guest, live from the Hamptons in Long Island. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised, first of three shows we're doing this week, triple header for you. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York, and we invite you to join in. All it takes is you calling at 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. Or in our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And yes, we are taking callers, Nick's 41 with the last part of the chat room. So go ahead, give us a call, 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. Or next person, get into the chat room, put your question or comment in there. As soon as you do, as soon as we address it. Who are you working with these days on television, Jeffrey?
Well, on TV, I've been producing, very fortunately, it's a terrific relationship, a TV series with Eric Repair, who is the chef and partner owner of Le Bernardin in New York. And we've done two series that have aired on public television nationally called Avec Eric. And these are cooking and food shows. They're really about in search of inspiration, a chef's search of inspiration for what to cook and how, you know, and the influences that inspire him to, you know, the next and the next. And then at the same time, there are segments that take us behind the scenes in his restaurant and also into his home kitchen, where he does kind of very straightforward, terrific cooking. And Eric is somebody who you really, really enjoy listening to and watching. You know, with a little bit of bragging, we won the James Beard Award for Best TV Series, Best Location TV Series this year, and are nominated, knock on wood a little, for an Emmy for Best Culinary TV Show up next week.
That's the Daytime Emmy Awards that we have in Las
Vegas.
That's
the Daytime Emmy Awards.
And you're also doing iPad work with a project called CullenApp. First of all, what's that going to be about? And secondly,
okay,
do you see it ultimately going beyond the iPad to being on the TV as an interactive service?
Well, CullenApp is it's more than a project. It's a company that we started a little under a year ago to create culinary apps and to do it in a way that went beyond just creating I'd say ebooks or enhanced ebooks, and really bringing the possibilities and potentials that the iPad and just computer savvy brings on a much more sophisticated level. My partners in this, Bob Huntley and Chris Howard, are both not out of the food world, but out of the software development and gaming world, computer gaming world, and bring a kind of, I'd say, immersiveness to the experience of using our apps that I haven't seen any place. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, I think gets people when they play computer games. You know, I'll play another round, I'll play another. You really want to be involved in this. And it becomes a very personal, almost one-on-one experience working with the app. The first app we're doing is with a fabulous talent, I believe, who hasn't been a TV person, but a cookbook writer and journalist named Dory Greenspan. Dory wrote a while ago the Julia Child book that accompanied our TV series, Baking with Julia, and then had a major award-winning book called Baking from My Home to Yours. And this year actually won Best Book Award, Best Overall Book at the International Association of Culinary Professionals, which is the big kind of, you know, cooking academy event for her book Around My French Table. But the baking book, which I've just loved, was a perfect basis for creating an app. And Dory is just really a terrific talent. And the team that we have working on it at CullenApp has kind of created something, and we're in our final, what we call usability testing. We're in our final usability testing to make sure all the bugs and everything are out of it, and it should be on the market in another several weeks. But it's very exciting because it takes the kind of depth of content that you have in a book, together with the personal experience or emotional personal experience that you have in on TV, where you really get the personality side, and then makes it very involving and interactive by creating a program that you are moving through and cooking with on a total one-to-one basis. So you really have, it's a platform that I think is going to be amazing and will grow, will become, to me, it's going to make the ebook into the 8-track. You know, that's going to go away, you know, it'll really be a blip, because with more and more different tablets coming out, and the level of inventiveness and intelligence being put into the design of these apps, I think that, you know, we're in for a really exciting time in terms of the experiences that you can have. And, you know, and what we're doing at CullenApp is we're saying we're not just trying to pull together a bunch of, you know, recipe collections and make them available with little buttons as apps, but we're really kind of designing experiences that will take people through it. And ideally, there'll be experiences that will be successful for the people using them, so you'll come out of that and not only be able to cook something, which, you know, a lot of people have been doing for a long time out of books, and you'll be motivated to do it, which is really what cooking television has done, but you're really going to have an enjoyable experience cooking along with, or baking, in this case, baking along with Dory, or in the future, you know, making pastas along with Giuliano Hazan, or whichever way we go on that.
And ultimately, this could be an interactive TV as well as an iPad app if Apple TV decides to allow the iPad as well as iPod developers to green light their programs, not only for the smartphone or for the tablets, but the television. We have a call, and we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hello? Hi, I'm Hung Welsh. So what are you doing?
Hello, welcome. You're on the air, and you're with Jeffrey Drummond, Emmy winning executive producer of food television shows.
Hello?
Hello?
You're on. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. This is actually John from Manhattan. I was just wondering, what is this show about? Because, you know, I'm fairly new to your show, and I was just wondering, you know, winner, what your show is about.
You're talking about Simon's show.
Yes.
Well, happy to ask. This is a show about the world of television. We interview people like Jeffrey. We interview also network TV executives. We have show producers. We have show creators. We have a special edition coming up on Wednesday. That's a nice little segue. And on Wednesday's program, we're going to have, among other people, the producer of Law & Order Criminal Intent, its 10th and final season on NBC and USA Network, Chris Brancato. We're going to have the co-creator executive producer of Fran Drescher's new sitcom, Happily Divorced. That will be premiering Wednesday night on TV Land, Peter Mark Jacobson. He also co-created The Nanny. And we'll also have Joey Berlin, who is the president of the Broadcast TV Journalists Association, which is coming out with a new award show called the Critics' Choice Television Awards. It'll be held live in Los Angeles next Monday, and then we'll be on Real Channels after that.
I have a friend on the line. His name is actually Fran, and he wants to get on the line. Can you bring him in just for a group conversation? He's actually the 567 phone number.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you could call our number, which is 646-652-2906, that would be great. That's our number for our listeners to call in on.
Do you bring on the 567 number, please?
I'll try. If I see it, I will. And thanks very much for getting on.
Winner.
Okay, we have another call. Jeffrey, let's take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We'll Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi there.
You're on.
Hey, this is Frank calling from Mississippi. How are you guys tonight?
Frank, great to have you aboard. You're on with Jeffrey Drummond.
How are you doing, Jeffrey?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, doing well. What's the show about today?
The show is about, it's really about food television and about the creation of
Food television,
apps.
All right. All right, so what do you guys think about that show that's coming on? I saw it on Food Network, that next Food Network star.
The show's on Sunday night. It was on last night. What do you think, Jeffrey?
Well, I didn't see it, so I don't know, but I think that the show, and again, this is that show, these are the shows that use food as a basis for search and competition. There, you know, it's very much reality programming, and it's
interesting.
Giving people an opportunity to get
really
on
care.
TV. And they've been
really
very successful
care.
In finding great personalities.
Oh, funny story, I gotta tell you. Can I tell you a story real quick?
Yeah,
sure, before I go, I want to add that that Bob Tushman, who is the head of Food Network and also a judge on Food Network Star, was on our show last Monday. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he mentioned is that competition shows like Food Network Star, Iron Chef America, Chopped, are taking up more of his network schedule. So before I go to the story, Jeffrey, you want to talk about competition, Jeff? What do you make of all these competition shows, Iron Chef America, et cetera, et cetera?
Hey, can I say something real quick? I have a little quick story about the Food Network.
Sure.
Yeah, so actually I was very interested in being a part of the Food Network style when the first season that came out. And, you know, I went there to the auditions. It was in, I think it was near Tallahassee. And I flew down there, and I went to the auditions, and there was this woman next to me in line. And me and this woman, we met, and she actually been on Food Network before. So we decided to hang out, and we went to the audition together, and we both did very well. And what happened was, after the audition, we went back to the hotel, and we were cooking up something for our next audition because we made it past the first round. And what happened was, we got it on, and she took a shit right on my face, a big...
I'm going to have to cut you off there. Sorry. Catalogical language, not part of it. And thank you for the call, by the way. Jeffrey, let's get back to that. What do you think about competition shows, about Iron Chef America, Food Network Star, Chopped, and also shows like America's Next Great Restaurant, which was just on NBC?
You know, I think I think they all make for good TV. They're very much in the category. It's a little bit like in sports programming. You have games, and then you have a lot of kind of how-to and how to go about shooting different things, you know, whether it's hunting, fishing, so on. They're kind of instruction-type shows. And then you have personality shows and so on. And I think that the competition shows in food or using food are – people can relate to it, and what it's doing is it's opening a window for people in the audience to begin to learn about and appreciate different kinds of food, different kinds of cooking, restaurants, chefs, and appreciate that category. You know, 25 years ago, the chef, the job of chef was not considered a profession. It was considered a manual trade. Now it's kind of a real celebrity trade, and chefs are stars. I think that, you know, it just is. So these shows are really reflective of that. And when you have somebody, for example, Guy Fieri, who I think was a winner of the first or one of the first, you know, Next Food Network stars, you know, what... Sure, he can cook, but, you know, he's not where he is because he can cook. He's where he is because he's an extremely vibrant, charismatic, interesting guy who people like to watch, and that's why he's hosting, you know, the show that he's hosting on NBC and so on. And I think that it's become – these shows have become a platform for you know, for talent, and, you know, the talent that can work in that way, just like, you know, they're not a whole lot different than, you know, So You Think You Can Dance or whatever those other dance shows are, or performance shows. They, you know, and I'm sure that there are some shows that are very similar to, you know, the gong show type things where people are taking a, you know, or can't take a beating with food. And if they haven't come up with them, I'm sure somebody will. You know, and then you have your extreme eating shows and so on. There are some really good ones. You know, you have your shows like Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations, which are really terrific. It's really good. It's good filmmaking. It's good television. It's good writing. You know, he's a terrific personality. And, you know, and it's a pleasure to watch something like that. You know, there are other shows that don't come to that level, and they're less so. And, you know, and then the ones that don't reach that medium level disappear after a year or two.
And I'll tell you, Jeffrey, No Reservations on the Travel Channel has really taken a big leap forward this year with some of the locations that Anthony has gone to and his commentary about them. We have a couple more minutes with Jeffrey Drummond, Emmy Award-winning executive producer, who's also involved in the iPad world. And if you want to know more about his iPad venture, call an app, Here's where you go on the web, www.cullin, that's CULINapps.com. So if you want to get on the horn, do so at 1-646-652-2906. That's 1-646-652-2906. We're also with you Wednesday and Friday here on Blog Talk Radio. On Wednesday, special 90-minute edition, Chris Brancato, the producer of Law & Order Criminal Intent on NBC and USA Network, Joy Berlin from the Broadcast TV Journalist Association and the new Critics' Choice TV Awards, and Peter Mark Jacobson, the former co-creator of The Nanny, now co-creator and executive producer of the new Fran Drescher sitcom, premiering Wednesday night on TV Land, Happily Divorced. And on Friday, my guest will be the co-executive producer of Falling Skies, premiering this Sunday night on TNT, starring Noah Wiley and Mark Verheyen. David Zuckerman, the current executive producer of Wilfred, coming to FX later this month with Elijah Wood, Lord of the Rings fame. And Josh Furman, the current executive producer of Drop Dead Diva, starts his third season also Sunday night on Lifetime. They'll all be with me on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Best chef you ever worked with on television, Jeffrey?
I don't like to pick best because there have been lots of good ones. My biggest, strongest relationship has been with Julia Child. Absolutely the most, the most influential and inspiring and shaping for me. Julia was just absolutely, she was the best in so many ways. On the other hand, I love working with Eric Repair and continue to work with him. He is just one of the outstanding, not only in terms of his talent in the kitchen, but just as a person, he's an inspiration. And Dori Greenspan, who is the host of this, and the cook in this Baking with Dori app that we've just completed, was absolutely a joy and brilliant to work with. Not only, is she kind of a master of what she bakes and how she does it, but, just imagine spending a week in studio baking your way through about 35 recipes. For every conceivable kind of fabulous bakery treat, there's nothing better. And, counter to, all those stories that people used to tell about, in the commercial business where they cover their food with varnish and, shoe polish and this and that, everything that we made is absolutely edible. And everything that we made was absolutely tasted. So we had a ball. I do want to say in closing, and you brought up interactive television, Simon, but in a way, the apps, the kind of stuff that we're doing at Cullin App, and hopefully we'll do another one of these and we'll get you an app and you can kind of work it while we're doing the conversation. The apps have a degree of involvement and participation that is totally interactive TV, and will allow you to kind of select your program and carry enough programming so that you can carry a month's worth of great interactive and immersive experiences right there in your iPad. It's quite fabulous.
Yeah. And finally, if there's one chef or one type of show currently on television now that you would like to work with, develop a show with, who would that chef be or what kind of format would it be?
For me personally, what I want to do is there's not one chef who's on television that I necessarily want to work with that I'm not. There are a lot of people who are out there who are my friends who I enjoy working with. But what I really love to do is to find somebody who best merges with a topic and create something directly with them. On the Avec Eric series, one of the things we did that was terrific was we spent a couple of days down in the Caribbean with a number of really terrific chefs like Grant Achatz and David Chang and Jose Andreas and Dean Fearing. And we taped lots of, we not only went out, we went out into the, you know, ocean with them fishing. We, you know, we cooked big meals, but we also had some real in-depth conversations about how they approach food and cooking and the restaurant business and the restaurant experience. And wouldn't it be great to really be able to take a nap, you know, I don't, you know, and this, I haven't proposed this to my partners at Call a Nap yet, but since they're so good at this kind of stuff, to really take a nap and create a restaurant experience, a virtual restaurant experience through an app, and then do it and showcase the work and the cooking of different top chefs in the country and around the world, so that even if you're not in Chicago and not able to get a reservation at Next, you can experience what Grant Achatz did. And similarly at the French Laundry with Thomas Keller, and similarly, you know, in New York at Le Bernardin with Eric Rappaire, and, you know, and go into, in a way we've done it with the how-to side with Dori Greenspan on baking, and we've gone into her kitchen, but wouldn't it be cool to go into the top restaurants of the world and really create an app experience around that? And I think that that, to me, is the great future. I'm more interested in doing that than, you know, just putting on another recipe show.
Yeah, sounds like a great possibility. Sounds
yeah.
like PBS and Food Network and Cooking Channel and Bravo and a whole bunch of folks who make food TV happen, not only on air but online, could be involved. So let's see what happens. Obviously,
okay.
The daytime Emmy-nominated show that Jeffrey executive produces, you can find on public television stations around the country. Check your local listings for where the PBS station area does that show and what time. And for more details about the show, www.pbs.org. And Jeffrey's venture for iPad is called Cullen App. And if you want to find out more about that, you go here online, www.cullenapp.com. That's www.cullenapp.com. Jeffrey Drummond, it's a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for your knowledge and expertise. Congrats on the Daytime Emmy nomination. Good luck with that, and good luck with your ventures from here on in.
Thanks so much, Simon. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Jeffrey Drummond joining us live from the Hamptons in Long Island. When we come back, why should you care about NBC keeping the Olympics on its family of networks through 2020? A lot of good things. I'll comment about that after we pause, after the bottom of the hour, for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 7.5 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for the BRO. If you love the Vampire Diaries, you'll love this episode of the BRO tonight with co-star of that series, Daniel Gillis. Tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back to the Barbie Televised. Time and Applebaum with you live from New York. First of a triple header of shows this week. We're back with you with a special edition on Wednesday, and then Friday in our regular time period, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And we'll tell you who's going to be on those shows in a bit. But right now, a comment. In case you were under a rock over the last week, NBC kept the Olympics with a $4.3 billion bid. NBC and its family of networks from USA to Universal Sports will continue to run the Olympics from 2012 through 2020. And it's a $4.3 bid that I think will pay off big time for you, the American public, and our listeners. Why? Well, a couple of reasons. First of all, the incoming head of NBC Sports, Mark Lazarus, who substituted for Dick Ebersol when he left a few weeks ago, made it abundantly clear at a press conference when they got the bid. No more plausibly lies. So if you're frustrated about watching the Olympics on NBC, having to wait for all the live events or the events they happen to be replayed and replayed when you least expect it sometimes on NBC in prime time, no longer. The plausibly lies era that Dick Ebersol fostered, for good or bad, is over. Now, every event will be carried live one way or the other on NBC, whether live on their network or live on USA or live on Sci-Fi, CNBC, MSNBC, whoever carries the Olympics. Secondly, you'll get more coverage, and there'll be more networks covering the coverage, whether it's Golf Channel, when golf becomes Olympic sport pretty soon, whether it's Versus, USA, MSNBC, CNBC, etc., as well as any other networks NBC's family decides to get involved, like G4. With one situation, though, I wish that they would rectify, and that's Telemundo. If you listen to this program regularly, you know they've been a critic about Telemundo not running the games in prime time. When I talked to Telemundo executives about this, I did recently with one of their programmers, I was told, well, we have a lot of telenovela fans, and they're going to get really ballistic if we substitute their favorite novellas in prime time for the Olympics. With due respect to Telemundo and the people involved there, I personally think it's a bunch of hooey. Here's why. I've always believed that if you promote the games powerfully, if you set the American audience up powerfully to watch a program, whether it's the Olympic Games or Dancing with the Stars or American Idol, they will watch. I don't see thousands of telenovela fans going bonkers, flooding switchboards, emails, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, with, I can't stand the Olympics, get my telenovela back on the air. However, I will offer a compromise. If Telemundo wants to stay, well, no prime time, and continue not to give Spanish language television audiences what they want or what they could get and enjoy the Olympics, how about this? Telemundo runs the games on weekends in prime time, and Mundos, their spinoff network that's bilingual, on weeknights. We talked about this with Flavio Morales recently. He's the programming chief at Mundos, and he might be open to the idea. I hope so, starting with the London Games next summer. So I'd like to see NBC clarify that situation, and no matter what, have Telemundo coverage in Spanish available when Spanish language viewers can watch it. Third, I think you'll see the Olympics better promoted, better marketed, better publicized, and you will see with Comcast, of course, owning NBC Universal now, those cable operators that have been loath to run promos for the Olympics, they'll make sure their listeners get to see what's going on with the Olympics way in advance. So I think that's going to be taken care of, and that will benefit you and your viewing. I also think you will definitely see the Olympics in 3D and the Olympics in an interactive video-on-demand fashion. In fact, both. If 3D works, and I think it still can, despite some of the brouhaha over how films are doing this summer so far in 3D, or the amount of sets, I think if the Olympics were offered in 3D, that would be a galvanizing force. Same thing with interactive television venture, same with video-on-demand, and I got to think NBC will offer all three. And finally, an irony. It was 2 years ago that Comcast, which now owns NBC Universal, had made a deal with the U.S. Olympic Committee to launch a U.S. Olympic network that would showcase where the Olympic sports are in this country, where athletes are going on their way to the Winter and Summer Games. The International Olympic Committee went ballistic. No, you can't have this network. They didn't tell us about it. Why should you go ahead? And guess what? If you go ahead with this network, we'll see what you don't get the Olympic bid for 2016, which ultimately did not go to Chicago. It went to Rio de Janeiro. Yes? A cable network, or the possibly one launching, may have been the big factor why the U.S. lost that bid to have the Olympic Games in Chicago in 2016. And, of course, the irony, Comcast now owns NBC, and guess what? Under this new Olympic deal, Comcast now can form a cable network with the U.S. Olympic Committee devoted to Olympics coverage 24/7. How about that? And that, of course, has got to benefit both the Olympic movement and you, the viewer. So, with $4.3 billion to spend, it's unclear, of course, whether this is going to make a difference with NBC's primetime schedule from now to 2020, but I think it will make a difference for viewers. We'll get more Olympics. We'll get more Olympics live. We'll get more Olympics when we want it. We'll get more Olympics any place we want it. And that's all to the benefit of you, the viewer, the Olympics movement, and hopefully the world at large. As we said, we've got two wonderful episodes of Tomorrow We Televise coming your way the rest of this week. Coming up on our special edition Wednesday, Chris Brancato. He is the producer of the 10th and final season of Law & Order Criminal Intent, now running on USA and NBC. Then we'll have Joey Berlin. He's the president of the new Broadcast TV Journalists Association, and they're doing the new Critics' Choice TV Awards. It's live in Los Angeles a week from today, then several days later we'll run in edited form on Reels channels. Joey will give us a preview. We'll also get his thoughts from his constituency about how the new TV season shapes up. And finally, what's it like to be the former husband of Fran Drescher, the co-star of The Nanny, the star of The Nanny, and co-create with her and executive produce her new sitcom on TV Land called Happily Divorced? It premieres at 10:30 this Wednesday night. And we're going to find out because Peter Mark Jacobson, who is Fran Drescher's ex-husband, will join us live. He is the co-creator and executive producer of Happily Divorced. It will be a same-day exclusive interview right here on Blog Talk Radio. Then on Friday, we'll kick it off with Mark Verheeden. He's the co-executive producer of Steven Spielberg of the new Noah Wiley starring TNT science fiction drama Falling Skies. It premieres this Sunday night. Also this Sunday night, Drop Dead Diva starts its third season on Lifetime. We'll have Josh Freman with us, the creator and executive producer of that show. Second time on our program. And finally, David Zuckerman, the creator and executive producer of Wilfred, the new buzzing FX sitcom based on an Australian hit starring Elijah Wood of Lord of the Rings fame. Incidentally, David Zuckerman is a familiar name. He is also one of the directors on both Family Guy and American Dad to Fox's big animation Sunday hit. That's all coming up Wednesday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, we make it so easy, 24/7. Check our homepage out, www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/SimonApple04. And we're available on podcasts also 24/7, downloadable to any mobile device. More than 100,000 downloads so far and counting. Check us out on iTunes.com, Zoom.net, and many other websites arranged by the fine folks at Sonify. We're also a featured podcast on TiVo, and we're available to students and teachers nationwide through Cable to Classroom. The address there, www.ciconline.org. That's www.ciconline.org. I want to thank our callers for getting involved in the program today, and we also want to invite you to email me. What do you think about our show today, about our guests, your ideas for future guests and topics, your thoughts about our regular feature or show to know? If there's a TV show you like you think deserves more attention, let me know, and we'll give it the attention. Just email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And as always, we appreciate what you have to say. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Matt Bader. Podcast distribution provided by Sonobite. Words to your ears. For more, surf sonobite.com. Podcast director and theme music composer, Philip Salisbury. But tomorrow will be televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your day. We will catch you for our special edition Wednesday, same time, same place, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.